Time to join the American Family Robinson again in Centerville. In our last program, Windy Bill and Gus Olson were the featured attractions at the grand opening of Miss Timmons' dress shop and nearly succeeded in wrecking her business before it was started. Their rivalry for Miss Timmons' hand has made them rivals in everything else, including which can make the greatest nuisance of himself. Now, it's the day after the opening, and we find Miss Timmons sitting on the steps of the Centerville Herald, impatiently awaiting the arrival of editor Luke Robinson.
Oh, Mr. Robinson, thank goodness you come at last. I just about got rheumatiz sitting here waiting for you.
Why, Miss Timmons, it's not even 8 o'clock yet.
Well, I've been sitting here since 7. I just had to see you, Mr. Robinson.
Well, I'm glad I came down early. I've had a couple of twinges of rheumatism myself.
Well, I didn't really mean it about rheumatism. I'm really too young for that yet.
Here, let me help you up. I believe they call it neuritis in younger people.
Yes, that's it. Just a touch of neuritis.
Yes, of course. Come in my office and tell me what's the trouble. I didn't get your name wrong in my story about the shop, did I?
Oh, no, tain't that. Oh, it was a beautiful story, Mr. Robinson. And I got it all cut out, and I'm going to frame it and hang it in the shoppy. It's the very first time I ever had my name in the paper since the Ladies' Aid had a bazaar. And that time, 'twas just among those present. But a whole story all to myself about me being a promising businesswoman. Oh, and the description of the shoppy. Gay with bunting and tastefully decorated in the latest mode. Well, I just can't tell you how thrilling it was to me.
Yes, I thought you'd like that phrase. It never has failed to please. But you haven't waited an hour to tell me how much you like the story.
Well, no. It's kind of hard to get started, but... Mr. Robinson, I got to have another story in the paper right away.
Another story?
Yes. I got to issue a statement, Mr. Robinson.
Issue a statement?
The future of your dress shop, it depends on me issuing a statement. If I don't, I might just as well close up tomorrow.
Well, let's have it. You go ahead and issue. I'll take it down. And if it's of vital interest to Centerville, I'll be glad to print it.
And I think it ought to go right on the front page so people will be sure to notice it.
Under a streamer headline, no doubt.
Well, that would be nice. Well, shall I go ahead now with the statement?
Yes, indeed. Shoot.
Miss Letitia Timmons, proprietor and sole owner of your dress shoppy. Fine dressmaking, hem-stitching, and pleating. Have you got that down, Mr. Robinson?
Yes, go on.
Wishes to inform her customers-to-be that Mr. Bill Winkle and Mr. Gus Olson have nothing to do with either the management or operation of the shoppy. Period.
I begin to see.
She wishes to apologize to the ladies of Centerville for any annoyance these persons caused them at the opening. And if the ladies will come back, they can be sure they will not come in contact with either of those pests. And if Miss Timmons catches them within a mile of her shoppy, she'll take to them with a broom handle. Signed, Letitia Timmons.
Miss Timmons, aren't you being a little harsh with the boys? After all, they were trying to help.
Harsh? Tain't half what they deserve. Didn't they near wreck my business? How many orders did I get? Just one. And that was in spite of them. That was one customer they missed greeting. Mr. Robinson, I got to have that printed. Tain't that I bear them any ill will. I know they was trying. But I never should have mixed romance and business in the first place.
Well, I can't deny that your statement is news.
Then you will print it, Mr. Robinson?
Miss Timmons, I feel that I owe it to the Herald. Yes, even to Centerville's journalistic history, to print that statement verbatim.
On the front page, you mean?
No, I meant word for word.
Oh.
That item alone should sell hundreds of copies of the Herald. And although my heart may bleed for the wounded feelings of Gus and Bill, I can't let my emotions stand in the way. The news must be printed.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Robinson. But the way you put it, maybe I've been a little hard on the boys.
Perhaps you could soften the blow. You might give them an off-the-record version of it before the Herald comes out.
You mean tell them in advance I don't mean it like it sounds?
Something like that, yes. You might call Windy right now.
Oh, I'll be kind of foolish.
Oh, you'd be very wise to do it, Miss Timmons. You mustn't let business destroy the softer side of your nature, the romantic side.
No.
You need a home and a husband, Miss Timmons. And Windy needs you.
Yeah, he certainly needs somebody to keep him out of trouble.
Exactly. Oh, he's just a big, overgrown kid. Oh, with a heart of gold, Miss Timmins.
I kind of got the idea that you didn't like Bill, Mr. Robinson.
I've just learned to know him.
Mm-hmm. You must have known him for 20 years, him being Miss Robinson's brother.
It is true that at one time I considered Windy one of the major evils of my existence. But since he's met you, Miss Timmins, a change has come over him. You have brought out, if I may say so, a side to his nature that I never suspected. A sweeter, more human side.
Oh, Mr. Robinson, I done that?
Yes, Miss Timmins. Oh, you can hardly abandon him now.
Well, you do put it nice, Mr. Robinson. Why, you almost make me feel it'd be a pleasure and a duty to take him off your hands.
Well, of course, if I must lose him, I will endeavor to do so with good grace. But now is the time, Miss Timmins. Now, if ever, before this statement appears.
Time to what?
To indicate to Windy, delicately, of course, that his suit for your hand is not in vain, that you are not adverse to changing your name to Winkle. In short, that the happy date be set for as soon as possible.
Oh, you do make it sound attractive, but... Oh, I don't know as I ought to rush into a thing like that.
Oh, my dear Miss Timmins, may I point out that none of us grow younger.
Hmm?
And if you do it now, Windy will be in such a rapturous haze, he won't even notice the harsh tone of the statement you're putting in the Herald. But if you don't, this story may shatter your romance like a piece of busted glass.
Oh, dear. Well, then, maybe I ought to.
Good, Miss Timmins. Fine. Here's the phone. Quick now, before you change your mind.
Telephone seems kind of impersonal for a delicate thing like this.
Even better. You'd better go right over. Nothing like getting the thing settled.
Are you busy, Luke?
Good morning, George. Oh, not a bit busy. Come in and congratulate Miss Timmins. Miss Timmins, do you know Mr. Barton, the Herald's business manager? Fine fellow, George.
I don't believe I've had that pleasure.
Well, how do you do? Are congratulations in order?
You bet they are. Miss Timmins has just made me the happiest man alive.
Oh, but, Luke, you're married already.
Yes, I know. But she's going to marry my brother-in-law.
Oh, I see. Well, congratulations.
Well, it's a little early for him, but thank you.
Run along now and take my blessing with you. And tell Myra I'm bringing home orchids. And tell her to get out the party silver. George?
Yes?
George, I've just accomplished a miracle. I've turned what seemed a certain defeat into victory.
You're certainly pleased about something.
Please, why not? She's going to marry Windy and remove him forever from my spare room. Hmm. If she'd waited till after the next issue of the Herald, he'd never have married her or forgiven her either. Just to contemplate my achievement of this morning makes the whole day a success.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. Because I've brought something else for you to contemplate that might not be so pleasant.
I see you brought the books in.
Yes.
What is it this time? Overhead, bad debts, or more taxes?
It's more serious than that, Luke. We've been running pretty close to the wind for some time now.
Oh, I knew that, but I didn't think there was any danger.
It wasn't dangerous, as long as we had some capital left. But the past few years, I've put pretty much of a strain on that.
Oh, but as long as the circulation keeps up...
That's one trouble, Luke. It hasn't. It's been a gradual decline, but, well, when you add it up, it's serious. The farmers have been canceling, Luke. That's where most of our circulation is.
Well, don't farmers read news anymore?
Well, I went around myself to find out. And I did. Even a newspaper is pretty much of a luxury to farmers these days, it seems. Now, I don't know why. When farm produce prices are higher than they have been in years.
Well, that doesn't mean much when exports are lower than they have been since the Civil War. And we're importing more produce, livestock and other farm products than ever before. It's a small world, isn't it? A cow gets shipped across the ocean or over the border, and our circulation drops a point. Go on with the bad news. What else ails us?
Well, there's not much use going into too much detail. But advertising's the same way. Nobody seems to want to spend money on advertising either.
Well, that's understandable, too. As long as the future is as uncertain as it is, even to the extent of not knowing whether the Constitution itself is going to be upheld or thrown aside.
Well, whatever the reason for all this, The total result to the Herald is a deficit of $6,000 this year. And that's pretty serious for us.
$6,000? Why, that's... Well, I didn't realize. Barton, are you sure?
I'm sure, all right. Of course, with the country laughing off a federal deficit of $4,500,000,000, I suppose a mere $6,000 isn't much. But I can't feel it's a laughing matter. We can't postpone the debt for our children to pay.
Yes, unfortunately, we haven't taxpayers, present and future, to pay our deficit off for us. And it's far from being a laughing matter. George, do you mean we're in debt to that extent?
To everybody. For paper, machines. We've cut our production costs down to the bone. There's no room for economy there. We've spared nothing but the payroll. It looks like that comes next in our economy measures.
No. We must not lay off anyone who wants to work, except as a very last resort. We'll try to think of something else. After all, every employer is faced by this predicament of maintaining employment as his first interest.
Well, I don't know what we can do unless the Herald goes back to being a weekly. I'd hate to see that happen, Luke. There's the only one thing I'd hate worse than that, and that's...
Seeing it cease publication altogether?
Well, yes. And unless there's a big change, that's a possibility, Luke.
Let's not think about that yet. I've got a lot of thinking to do, George.
I'd have given a lot not to have to tell you this, Luke. I delayed it as long as I could.
I know. It's pretty much of a blow, but we'll get through it somehow. I'm not the first businessman this has happened to, and we're not wrecked yet.
That's the right way to look at it, if you can. I guess I'd better call the stockholders meeting.
Yes, for tomorrow morning, here.
Is there anything else I can do to help you? I'll prepare a summary of the situation, of course.
That's fine. Thanks.
Isn't there something else I could do?
No.
Or you?
No, thanks. I'd like to think it over by myself for a while. Get it straight in my mind.
You ought to go home, Luke. Dick Collins can take over for you today.
No, I'll be all right. Business as usual, George.
Okay, Luke. I'm sorry. Shall I tell Miss McGillicuddy you don't want to be disturbed?
Yes. Thanks, George. The Centerville Herald covers Centerville like the dew. Luke Robinson, owner and editor. Established 1912. 12 from 35. 23 years. Assets, goodwill, sound policy, and a fine staff. Liabilities, $6,000. And current expenses. Hello? Yes, I'll talk to Mrs. Robinson. Hello, Myra. Oh, they finally settled it, eh? Yeah, that's fine. Of course I'm glad. No, I don't think I want to talk to Windy just now. Myra, I'm bringing Dick home to dinner. And you'd better call Betty. No, it won't be a party exactly, and... I'm afraid there won't be orchids after all. No, there's nothing the matter. Just some things to discuss. We may be quite late, but have a good dinner for us. And don't worry.
Well, it looks as though Miss Timmons has taken the plunge and accepted Windy Bill. But Editor Luke's jubilation is short-lived. Is the Herald in serious difficulties? Will Editor Luke have to give up the paper that's been his cherished dream for so many years, and on which the whole Robinson family and its employees are dependent? Join us in our next program and see what happens. Until then, goodbye. The American Family Robinson, which is broadcast regularly over this station, is written by Douglas Silver and Marjorie Bartlett and produced by the National Industrial Council.